So now it is my great pleasure to introduce to you Marlene Marcella McKenna. Marlene had malignant melanoma, one of the less common types of skin cancer, but is the cause of the majority, 75% of skin cancer-related deaths, a very deadly disease. Her remarkable story and medical records were well documented in part of the Cushy Institute Best Case Series presentation that was presented to the National Cancer Institute by myself and several others in 2002. The incredible thing about her story is that the doctor who reviewed her case at the National Cancer Institute was the very same doctor who diagnosed her, actually from that time, it was 17 years earlier, and was certain at that time that she had only a few months to live back then. He was shocked to see her file. I remember distinctly being in the room and he was looking at it. He was very shocked to see her file again and to learn that she was alive and well. Marlene has written a book about her recovery called When Hope Never Dies, and she travels and speaks regularly, helping many people. She's been on many shows as well. She has a wonderful and informative website at www.medmacro.com. That's M-E-D-M-A-C-R-O.com. There's a lot of wonderful information there. Without further ado, here is Marlene. Thank you for joining us, Marlene.
Thank you, Fia. What a wonderful service you're doing for humanity. You are right. Thank you. And as we all share our stories, I want your listeners and anyone who goes to your website to listen to this taped recording that it is truly not just about me. It is about helping other people learn that food is part of their healing process, that they can heal their bodies. And it's so important. It's a message that I gave last night out in Montauk, Long Island, when I spoke to a group out there. Where do I begin? I was first diagnosed with malignant melanoma, stage 3, in 1983, and had the mole removed from my back. In 1984, the cancer spread to a subsurface lump on my neck, and I actually went to Boston. I am from Rhode Island, and I went to see doctors at Mass General Hospital, and they recommended a right-side lymph node dissection. At that time, they did not recommend any further therapy, chemotherapy or radiation, because they felt that the cancer cells that they did find were localized. I went on with my life. I did not change my diet or my lifestyle between 1983 and 1986. I was a very busy stockbroker, and I was in that profession altogether 20 years. I was raising four children with my husband, and my life was extremely busy but also very stressed. I need to emphasize that stress is a killer, and that many people out there who don't understand what the whole mind-body connection, I highly recommend that they get into some mind-body healing when they start healing their body through diet. So in 1985, I started getting dizzy spells. After that neck dissection, I started losing weight, and my doctors did not know what was going on. My general practitioner said I had lactose intolerance or I had a spastic colon. It wasn't until I went to see a wonderful GI specialist who sent me back up to Boston to Mass General Hospital, who was totally alarmed at looking at the x-rays of my intestines. I went to Boston, had 8 blood transfusions. I had an endoscopy, and they found no cancer in my stomach. I had a colonoscopy, and they found nothing in my colon. So my surgeon decided that there was bleeding, intense bleeding, severe bleeding in my small intestines. I was wheeled into surgery at Mass General, 3.5 hours of surgery, later found out was not expected to live through the surgery. My surgeon removed 6 malignant tumor lesions and 20 inches of small intestine. He resected the small to the large intestine. I'm going through a lot of this graphic detail because, as Fia did say, I was so fortunate that Mass General Hospital froze my tissue samples for the 18 years prior to this wonderful study that the Cushy Institute did for the National Cancer Institute. So after this round of surgery in March of 86, I was very weakened. I did not know where to turn. I did, again, more research. I never stopped looking into what I could do other than the chemotherapy that was offered to me, but very realistically, I was told it probably would not extend my life. I explored interferon. I explored interleukin-2 and the bone marrow transplant program at Dana-Farber. I rejected everything. I didn't feel that any of those therapies were going to do me any good other than make me more sick. And the many doctors that I spoke to said 1 out of every 10 people will die from the therapy. And they were very honest about that. My younger brother had actually visited a psychic healer, and he came to me and said, I went to see this woman about my son's ear infections and what I could do for him, and as I was leaving, I asked what I could do to help you. This woman knew Michio Kushi and said, you must tell your sister about macrobiotics. I dubiously said, what is that all about? He did not know either. He gave me the cancer prevention diet book. I looked at it. I started reading it. I decided I wasn't into cancer prevention. I was more into cancer treatment, but I thought I would give it a chance. He took me up to see a counselor at that point. My counselor was Dr. Mark van Kouwenberg. He was a former physician from Belgium. And Mark also looked at me very realistically, as many of the doctors I had visited, and said, you are sanpaku, you are dying. Sanpaku is Japanese for your eyes are rolling back in your head. So I have to be honest, I was paying half attention to the recommendations that Mark gave me. I did not really focus in and felt very down and depressed and without a lot of hope at that moment. But on the way home with my brother, took the scribe notes in my hands. It was like some spiritual awakening. I decided that I would give it a chance. I hired a wonderful woman from Korea whose husband was studying at Brown University. I live in Providence, Rhode Island. And she came to help me cook for 3 months. She knew little about macrobiotics, but her exposure to miso was her mother made homemade miso in Korea. And after that, for 1 year, I worked with a wonderful woman who came to help me twice a week because I also had to cook for my children. And my counselor very realistically said, you have to worry about you first. Your children, when you heal, you can worry about them. So here I was, a very frail 92 pounds, starting a macrobiotic diet. I stayed out of work for 6 to 8 months afterwards. I started a healing program and a very strict healing diet. My blood quality within 6 to 8 weeks changed from dark brown to bright red.
Wow.
I know, that's what did it. At that moment, I knew there was definitely something to what I was doing, in the foods that were detoxifying my body and building my immune system, I knew there was something very dramatic going on because I was doing nothing else. So I was being checked every month by a new general practitioner at my HMO. She never recognized and never supported my macrobiotic venture. I was never supported by any physician I had seen. My dermatologist at Mass General Hospital told me that if I went on the diet, I would die from the diet. And so back in the 80s, there was very little support that you could even get from the general populace, never mind the medical professionals I was exposed to. But I think because of my personality, and if any of you know me, I'm a very strong, persistent person, I decided that if I was healing and getting better, I would keep on pursuing this wonderful diet and lifestyle. I have to tell you that if any of you read my book, and I am revising and updating my book, and it will be out in a revised, updated version this year, which we can talk about later. But you'll know that I also had a very negative, stressed-out lifestyle. And again, I will focus in on mind-body healing, that I incorporated laughter into my life by reading Norman Cousins' book, Anatomy of an Illness. I read all of Bernie Siegel's book, especially his latest one at that time, which is Peace, Love, and Healing. I read the wonderful recovery story of Dr. Anthony Sadolaro, who was a medical doctor who cured himself of metastatic prostate cancer. And I had a wonderful small little east-west center in Rhode Island where I learned to cook and I learned to be very grateful for the wonderful people that were around me, supporting me every step of the way. There weren't that many of us in my wonderful little state, but there were some beautiful people. My life went on. I did start going back to work slowly, gradually. I was still very weak. Within about a year and 15 months after I was told I was going to die within that year, I found myself pregnant. So about 15 months after I started the diet, I found myself having a baby. Now, all of this was not a surprise to me because I had made a promise to God that if he walked me through this journey that and I lived, I would give life back with life. Now, I want to remind you all that I was around 41, 42 years old when I did deliver my son. So it was a major decision. But the more serious part of the decision was three doctors told me to have an abortion. They told me I would never live through the pregnancy. And I was really shocked by what they were telling me because that wasn't something I thought would be a problem. I felt that at that point I was very healthy or healthy enough to have a baby. And so I went away, I prayed. I went on to a beautiful Catholic retreat house, and I came back after that weekend and made a decision to go on with my pregnancy. 9 months later, or actually less than that, actually at that point, 7 months later, after I went on the retreat, I delivered my son, who is 21 years old, graduating college in another week, and I delivered him naturally. And we had no complications at all. It was actually a beautiful delivery and a beautiful pregnancy. I need to focus in on the fact that there is such a power to the physical side of healing, which will help you engage in a less stressed out lifestyle and make you calmer and make you more centered in what you want to do and also more grateful. I have been actively since, 1989 was about my first macrobiotic summer conference, and it was also the year that Ed Esko and I went on WBZ radio talk show, and which was a very powerful program where thousands of people were hearing about my story even back then. I've been featured in Ladies Home Journal, Your Health magazine. I have spoken at many conferences all over the country, and I plan to give back continuously as long as God gives me this wonderful energy and health for as long as I can. I talk to people all over the United States, and now that our wonderful stories are getting out into World Wide Web, I recently talked to a woman from received an email from a woman in Portugal and South Africa. As Fia said, I was one of the six best cases in the National Cancer Institute study. The panel of PhDs and MDs unanimously agreed that because of the efforts of a wonderful woman, Chris Akbar, who did the major part of the research for that study, that I was a cure through nutritional intervention. The medical doctor, Dr. George Yu, who was active in doing the presentation in front of that panel of doctors, also is writing the medical foreword to my revised book, and he was instrumental in getting my surgeon, who is not only a surgeon at Mass General Hospital but on the faculty of Harvard Medical School, to agree that I was a cure through nutritional intervention. All of this is really important for our listeners to know, that food is such a powerful healing mechanism, that all of these wonderful people that we have, not only in the macrobiotic community, but wonderful people like Dr. Caldwell Esselstein, Dr. Colin Campbell, Dr. Neil Barnard, Dr. Joel Furman, all of these wonderful people are out there talking about plant-based nutrition. And we all have to support their efforts. And if we work together in spreading the word, I think I think we're going to change the world. Thank you so much.
That is really amazing, a wonderful, incredible story. Let me ask you, how did your family react to your going on to macrobiotics?
Well, at that point, Fia, my children were range from the ages of 8, 11, oh wow, 11, 11, 8, 11, and my other two boys were 14 and 17, I believe. So they thought it was all very strange. They loved my cook, who was with me for a year, Christine Scold. They thought she was just very powerful, and, you know, she was just there to support me and do everything she could to help me heal. And they incorporated some of the foods into their own diet at that time, because it was very difficult, as you can imagine, to cook two different meals all the time. So we certainly incorporated the grains and the beans and the vegetables. And the most beautiful person, of course, who got to eat gamasho and tofu and brown rice and miso soup from the time he was born, was my son Joseph. So he was the lucky one.
That's wonderful. That's great. That's an incredible story. That's really wonderful. So I'm going to open it up now for questions. And if you'd like to ask a question, please press 5-star on your phone. And I will select you. So go ahead and do that now if you'd like to ask a question. Let me see. Anybody got a question? Anybody got a comment? Anybody want to share anything? Feel free to do so. Press 5-star on your phone. Okay, here we go. We got a question here.
Oh, we do. Okay, because I would have mentioned the incurable.
Hello?
Yes. What was your principal grain? Was it brown rice or millet or what was it?
My principal grain, sir, was brown rice.
Brown rice. Okay.
I could when I first went on the diet, it was what they called a pretty strict healing diet. So I could have for the first 8 weeks, I could have no oils. I could have nothing baked. Everything had to be boiled or pressure cooked or, you know, blanched or nishimi style, a little bit of water. Uh-huh.
Pressure cooked brown rice usually?
Yeah, back then, yes. Uh-huh, absolutely.
What kind of sea salt do you use? Do you use the Celtic or do you use a different kind?
I do. I use, I'm trying to think of the name of it. Is it SI, Fia? Is that the name of it?
SI salt.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to not be Sampeku?
I know. You can imagine how much I love Dr. Van Kallenberg, right? My reaction to him was not very positive at the time. How long did it take?
Because you said you changed your blood quality in a matter of, 6 weeks?
Honestly, yeah, it was phenomenal. Right after my surgery, my first menstrual cycle, if people don't mind me talking about this, and I'm very open about it, was literally dark brown. And within that was post-surgery, that was late March, early April. Come May, I started the diet May 1st, 1986. So within 6 weeks after that, so we're talking early June, my blood quality turned to bright red. And it obviously very, very healthy looking, very oxygenated blood. And how long did it take? I will tell you, I had checkups every month with my general practitioner. She, you know, checked all my molds. She checked my urine, my blood. She was amazed at my cholesterol. She said she had never seen cholesterol that low, ever. It was like 125. So I don't know. I was on a healing path, but I'm not going to tell you any glory stories. I was still very weak. I was still very thin. And it took me a year, oh my heavens, more than a year, more like almost until the time I was pregnant, to gain any weight whatsoever. I was literally went up to about 100 pounds or 102 pounds from 92.
How is your diet now compared to the healing diet that you followed initially?
Much whiter.
Do you have fish or anything now, or do you still are you still vegan?
My counselor had let me have fish after 8 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Not a lot of it. Do I have fish now? Yes. Not really that often, though. I guess I craved it for a while as I was coming off a very I'm not going to say I was on a red meat diet before, but I certainly ate meat, and that was the center of my plate. And the most deadly thing I was into was sugar and dairy products. I was I used to eat fudge at 11 o'clock at night. I used to have candy beans to give me my 3 p.m. upper at work. So, yeah, I was a sugarholic and very heavy into milk and cheeses and butter and all of that.
Okay.
and melanoma, and I had stage 4 melanoma, which I may not have mentioned, by 1986.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, any other questions?
Well, while people are thinking of a question, any question is fine, by the way. I'm fine about, ask me about my children, what they are doing now, ask me about what else I'm doing. Very importantly, Thea, back in 2006, many macrobiotic survivors were asked to be a part of a TV series called The Incurables. And a network that is you can find on the internet, www.veria.com, had started this series, and the focus of the series was people that used other than Western medicine to heal themselves of any illness. And the series started off with 26 to 30 episodes. I believe I was told by the production company very recently that they're up to 40 or 50 episodes. Out of the first 26, the macrobiotic survivors were, the macrobiotic survivors numbered about five or six of those 26 episodes.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to tell everyone that now that show is airing on Verizon and also airing internationally.
Great. Wonderful. Good. So we have a question. You're on.
Oh. I just really, it's more of a comment. In your stating the very many naysayers that you had to listen to and then still proceed with what you believed in or what you intuitively felt, I just want to give you a great lot of courage, applause for your courage, because with everybody telling you that it's not going to work, you're going to die, all of that, and you just, went ahead with it. That just took a lot of courage, and I just wanted to give you credit for that and
thank you for
sharing.
Well, thank you. And I hope my story, as I said, last night in Montauk with a wonderful man, Ken Wallace, who has a personal cure group out there that he is starting to do amazing things with. But I said, let me be a window on your world. I want to share my story so that other people will get the courage and the fortitude and that I had. I want people to say, if she can do it, I can do it.
I wish there was some sort of a listing somewhere of Western medical doctors who were at least open to working with people who wanted to use Eastern medicine and tradition, macrobiotic practices, because, otherwise you're flying blind just, trying to decide, should I involve Western medicine? Should I just use my instinct and intuition and the counseling with macrobiotics? And I think it would be wonderful if there is such a list, or if one could be begun of people who, Western medical doctors who at least were open to working with people.
Yeah.
I so agree with you, because then, you see, like I spoke to a woman in Hempstead, Long Island, prior to my going to Montauk, and she is having chemo now because she has breast cancer, and I don't give people medical advice. I don't tell them not to do things, but it would have been wonderful if she felt if she felt that she could integrate both. And I so agree with you. What doctors are doing wrong is by discouraging people from using diet, even in conjunction with Western, therapies, they're really hurting, that patient, because that patient, I know many people that went through chemo or radiation much more easily because they were on a healing diet. So I totally agree. And, you know, I will bring that to the attention of a couple of doctors I know, because I think more and more, like Dr. Ron Peters out in Scottsdale, Arizona, it has an entire practice where he and his wife incorporate diet and mind-body medicine. So, you know, if we could get just a compilation of some doctors all over the country that are at least focused in on doing what Dr. Peters does, it would be great.
Thank you.
Yes, I'd be happy to facilitate that website and that name collection, too. So if you do know of a doctor that is supportive, please feel free to email that to me, and I will start listing them on my website.
Oh, Fia, what a great idea.
Yes,
Good. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Great. So we have another call, another question up here. Hello? Oh, sorry.
Hi. I guess my question is for a beginner, whether it's absolutely imperative that they have a counselor, or is this something that you can do by, you know, reading some of the books that are out there, you know, specifically the ones that Michio Kushi has written. Is it possible to do that, or is it really a requirement that you have a counselor, a macrobiotic counselor?
Sure. You know, again, this came up over the weekend. My biggest fear is that some people who are battling a life-threatening illness are going to try to pick up a book and try to do it themselves. And I think it's absolutely imperative that you see a counselor if you're facing a life-threatening illness, or honestly, almost any illness. Now, if you're doing the diet for just good overall health, weight loss, it wouldn't hurt for you to see a counselor, but I would think that you could get some ideas from reading books or getting into some of the cookbooks. But my biggest fear is that people are going to start, the more prevalent macrobiotics and the more mainstream it gets to be, or plant-based nutrition gets to be, that people are going to start saying, oh, I can do that. And I can do. I will tell you that I don't think I could have definitely healed as quickly as I did had it not been for the diet that I was put on. And between you and I certainly would never have put myself on that kind of a diet because, oh, my God, it was very difficult. I'm sorry, I'm laughing now, but it wasn't funny back then. It was a very difficult thing to watch your children run around with ice cream cones and watch other people eat fruit when you couldn't, you know, when you could eat very little fruit. Very difficult and very challenging. But
thanks.
You know what? I'm here, and I'm here to talk to you about it. This is just past my 24-year mark.
Wow.
Yeah?
At some point, you came off of an actual, I guess there's a difference between eating macrobiotic and eating a healing diet. Do I understand this correctly? Like, because it's almost like, you know, with a counselor especially, they're going to tell you real in detail what, you know, what you can have and what you cannot have. But I know that there are people who have obviously have fruit and have some of those things. But when you're battling a serious illness for a while, some of those things are eliminated. Is that right? Do I understand that correctly?
They're limited or eliminated, exactly. And you can start widening. I mean, they will start, assuming you're doing well, you know, your diet will get wider. But I just recommend seeing a counselor anyway, or at least trying to talk with one on the phone and trying to get people in your local area. I think it's very important. I really do. I saw a lot of people on the Holistic Health Holiday at Sea Cruise this year, which happened in March, flocked to a lot of the counselors that were on the ship, and I don't know what kind of illnesses or anything that they were facing, but they just wanted to learn more about how to get healthier, how to lose weight, how to control their diabetes. Very important, I think, just to put you on a program. But when you're really facing a life-threatening illness, you really have to see someone, and they have to monitor you, I would say, every 6 weeks to 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We got another question up here. Hello? Hello, Cheryl?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Marlene. Thanks for sharing. It's a very inspiring.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you.
My question is regarding your now widened diet with travel. How easy is it for you to go anywhere? And could you just give us some examples of what preparation you might do, say, if you were going to go for a week in the Caribbean at a resort or Disney World?
And not be on the Holistic Health Holiday at Sea cruise, you mean?
Right.
Because that's where we went. We went to the Eastern Caribbean this year. Yeah, difficult. Yeah, if you're going to go away and, okay. Besides, you know, trying to bring your own food, whether it be rice or whatever, or a little soup on the plane, you know, mm-hmm. whenever I go to some place, and I usually try to prepare ahead of time to find either a Whole Foods or try to find local restaurants that I can eat at. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, I've never been away on, let's say, on a Caribbean island, so I'm assuming that would be much more challenging. I've been on a cruise to the Caribbean, but we had vegan meals on this cruise every meal. So.
A cruise other than the macrobiotic cruise? You had some vegan?
This is the Holistic Health Holiday at Sea. It is a macrobiotic cruise. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's easy.
it's wonderful. It's great. But very challenging to go to a different area start cooking. You know, you have to do it, but you try to eat lots of vegetables, lots of salads, whatever you can get, and, uh-huh. you know, cook some grains wherever you are if you can. It is still a challenge. There certainly are not enough good restaurants, but I think with Whole Foods around and so many of them, at least we have some place to go to have something. I'm not advocating the prepared food they have. I don't think it's all that great, but it's certainly better than the alternative.
Exactly.
You know what I'm
I think maybe even like those all-inclusive resorts in the Caribbean, maybe just chatting with the chef prior to vacationing there and seeing what they could do special for us.
See if you could get them to make, you know, special foods or something, But it's challenging, it is. It's still challenging. And I'm sure the Cushies found it challenging to travel also. Am I right, Fia?
Yes, I do remember, for example, going to Italy. And in Italy, we would go to an Italian restaurant and order plain pasta with no sauce. Like, there was a group of us, and the Italian chef was quite shocked to get that order. Anyways, that's great.
I'm Italian-American, so I can tell you that, you know, I still have raised eyebrows when I don't have tomato sauce. I know, it's tough. It really is. And of course, with my family, not to eat, you know, eggplant and stuffed peppers and meatballs and things was a big thing. Very good. very challenging.
Do you allow yourself any splurges now? Like, do you, would you have a piece of cake at one of your children's parties or a birthday, a wedding, your son's wedding or college graduation? Would you have a
Do I allow myself? Is that what you wish? I'm sorry, couldn't hear you. To eat off the diet? Sure. I'll go to a restaurant and I'll have, well, when I say off the diet, I guess what is off the diet for me? Once a year I might have a piece of turkey.
Really?
You know, at Thanksgiving, like my counselor even let me do my first year I was on the diet, believe it or not. When I go away, I'll have plain pasta, maybe with some garlic. I'll have fish. I'll have salads or vegetables. Yeah, that's my idea of going off the diet. I'm sure it's not other people's idea.
Wow, cool. Do you have a glass of wine too?
I used to get really severe headaches from wines, and I noticed it was more red wine. Once in a while, I'll have a glass of white wine. I don't really drink a lot. And sometimes if I go to a Japanese restaurant, I'll have sake or, maybe some Kirin beer.
Oh, wow. This is so encouraging to be able to drink a glass
of
wine again.
You can get better and drink, yeah. But, I mean, I don't make a habit of it. It's just if it happens, it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great. Thank you. Very encouraging.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and for listening.
Yes, okay. We have another question here.
Sorry, Fia. I couldn't hear very well.
Okay, here we go.
Fia, it's Rosemary. Thank you, Marlene, for your wonderful sharing.
Thank you, Rosemary.
I was going up to the Coosies at the same time you were, I think, around 1985, 86, and I can remember for 3 years I never had anything sweet. And once I asked Nishio when I was going to have dessert, and he turned to everyone in the room and he said, Mrs. Stark wants to know what, I don't know what this is she wants. She wants something called dessert. I was so embarrassed. I never asked again, and it was 3 years before I had anything sweet. But I understand how grateful you are, because it is a wonderful journey. And the doctors today are much more open, I know, than when I went through my healing. They just laughed at me, told me I was being a very foolish woman, and I was joining a Japanese cult. And these same doctors have come back years later and told me what a wonderful job it was, that we knew our bodies, we know our bodies ourselves. I wanted to ask you how were you involved with Nisho at all?
I never saw him as a counselor, but certainly over the years, I can tell you a great story. I opened a restaurant way ahead of my time in 1988, and it was actually the idea of my husband. it was a macrobiotic restaurant in Nishio and Abilene, and the head of the Rhode Island Heart Association and the head of the Cancer Society of Rhode Island were all there at the grand opening. And I got my beautiful plaque, which I still have in my basement, that says One Peaceful World, which he gave me. And we celebrated one of the first I don't think it's the first. I think Leno, if I'm not mistaken, started one in Rhode Island before that. But it was one of the first restaurants. It lasted only 3 years because of my, I was a young mother then again with Joseph, and also I was trying to work, so we basically subleased it to someone else, one of the local universities, for their use. But it was wonderful. We put in a valiant effort. And so over the years, let's see. Oh, my contact with him also was at summer conferences, and I also had our Secretary of State in Rhode Island give him a wonderful citation at one of the macrobiotic summer conferences, which was actually in Rhode Island. And I think it was FIA who found pictures of that. Is that true, FIA?
Yes, there are pictures on my Facebook page, yes.
That's right. That's right. So, by the way, that particular gentleman, our Secretary of State, James Langevin, is now our congressman. So, and he was very touched by having the conference there, but also very interested in macrobiotics. So it was great, Rosemary. It really was. And it's been wonderful to be around him. And Michio also asked me to go to Japan with him when Joseph was only about a year old. And he was taking a delegation over. And I still am kicking myself, Rosemary, to this day.
I thought I'd have plenty of opportunities to go, and I didn't go on that trip, and
really
sorry.
Rosemary, where do you live?
Actually, I'm sort of a high-class macrobiotic homeless person. I travel around the world and live here and there and everywhere, and I'm in Naples at the moment trying to organize a group of people to live together.
Oh, wonderful. Good for you, Rosemary.
In July, there'll be an article in Macrobiotics Today about it all.
Oh, goodness. As a matter of fact, I have the latest edition that I think they gave us on the cruise this year. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, well, trying to organize some elder communities.
Great. Yeah, I think it's happening. When you have wonderful people like Ken Wallace out in Montauk, and just wonderful, Tia, and this effort is fabulous. You have people in all over California, Larry Cooper, Sandy Pukel in Florida. You have the Palo Alto macrobiota community that I spoke to in November of last year. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This is so, it's just great. And I'm very excited to be a part of it, very grateful to be a part of it. But we really have to start ramping up and having and teaching people that they can heal themselves, that food is medicine, because that's what Hippocrates, the father of Western medicine, said in every quote I've ever seen of him. It's food, let food be thy medicine and medicine thy food.
Yes, great, wonderful. Okay, we're just about running out of time, so I'm going to stop the questions right now and say thank you to all those who asked questions. If you have a question and did get to ask it, you can always visit the website, my website, www.fiakushi.com, P-H-I, that's P as in Peter, H-I-Y-A-K-U-S-H-I.com. And you can post your question under Marlene's announcement on my website. Also, you can visit Marlene's website at www.medmacro.com and ask her questions directly through her website. And you can also read a lot of the wonderful information on her website. And she also has videos and other audio recordings, I think, also on her website.
On YouTube also, if you want to say that, Fia. I have a YouTube account also.
Great, wonderful, yes, okay. Well, what is your YouTube account?
Just put in my name, Marlene Marcello, or Marlene Marcello McKenna, and it will come up. I'm sorry. I don't know if there's a specific
link
for that.
Great.
But I'd love people to do that. And if you don't mind, I'd like to plug my e-newsletter. So it's called Rays of Hope, and you can sign up for my e-newsletter via my website. So.
Great. Wonderful. Excellent. Good. So, again, this call has been recorded, and it will be posted on the website. I'm going to stop the recording right now.